All right, everybody. Happy Monday.
Happy
the
Monday.
The Broncos finally won after 8 straight losses. So Denver is excited about our losing football team. Anyway, who's kicking us off?
I have a question.
Yes.
On the list source, purchasing my first list.
Yes.
Okay, so I purchased the list.
Okay.
And so on my screen it says purchased list, and it shows the list. Then it shows view criteria, reports, labels, export, rename. What do I do to bring it up like you have it?
You already have it bought?
Yes.
Export it. And then you want to map it using Google Maps. So
export
all you need,
it into the
yeah,
Microsoft
it to a CSV, a CSV format, or yeah, or Excel. CSV is just a Microsoft Excel format. Yep.
Okay.
And then here's what you're going to have to do, because I can't walk you through step-by-step how to map it using Google Maps, but you just do a Google search for how to map data using Google Maps. And then, okay, I had to look it up, and I don't remember the steps.
Okay, so. Well, no, I mean, there's the video on that. It's just when I brought up my list, it looked different than your list. It has a whole
yeah,
lot
probably,
more.
Yeah, it probably does. I was just using an example one. So it probably does.
Well, that's what really confused me. I'm like, why do I have so many more columns, so many more everything, and it just confused me. I just didn't go any further until.
And you can, you can delete some of those if you don't need them. Now, what I'll tell you to do is keep your source list so you have it all. But at the end of the day, if you have, the bedrooms, bathrooms, square feet, last market, purchase price, last market recording date, and then a lot of times when you do an export like that, they throw in who knows what. You can clean up that CSV file before mapping it in Google Maps if you want. It's pretty frequent that I do that just because who knows what some of that stuff even is that comes through. So I just delete the columns altogether. So
okay.
Yep.
Okay. That sounds good. That's all I had.
All right. You have that deal under wholesaled, right? Or you have the buyer? Did I read your email correct?
How about a hell yeah.
Tell us the numbers on it real quick, and when's it set to close?
It's set to close before January 3rd.
And Larry, this is the one you were telling me about that I thought the fix and flip numbers were a little suspect, but you had somebody that said, whatever, I'll pay you $150 for it, or I can't remember exactly the details. That's that,
that
one, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
There was a bump in the road on that one because my buyer is using his Roth IRA. We purchased property. He was able to reimburse us for our $5,000 earnest money. So the attorney sent us our counsel check back. But his Roth IRA does not allow him to give extra money to it. So we couldn't get our money up front till he closes the deal. When he closes that at 100.
So is that one still closing?
It's still.
So
the deal has been assigned.
Double close it. Can you double close
the deal
it? Then there is no extra money. That's just the purchase price.
No, yeah, it's just a purchase. We don't have anything. I assigned him the contract. When he when he closes the contract, buys the house, or whatever else he does with it, whenever it leaves his hand, then we get our commission of $6,500.
What do you mean when it leaves his hands? When he sells it?
No, when he purchases it.
You didn't say it right.
I didn't say it right.
So what
we assigned it to him when he exercises
that's when
his right.
Yeah, that's when you should get paid. That's when you should get paid. Or that's when you normally get paid, I should say. Okay.
Yeah. That was it.
When does that one close?
January 3rd.
January 3rd. Oh, Happy New Year. And then you have another one then.
Am I following? No, we don't have another one.
Okay. Okay, it's that one. Beautiful.
Yeah, that one was also for other people. It was a negotiation back and forth. He sent his assignment contract, and I marked out a bunch of stuff, and then he added it in, and we marked it off till we both got to a comfort level.
That was nice. Yep.
I had to make sure that if he don't close, he still owes me $6,500. I don't give a shit. Crap. Sorry.
Right, right.
Yeah.
That's right. Cool. Okay.
It was just that. Yeah. That was a sticking point, and I just had to tell him straight up. He said, yeah, you're not going to tie my property up, run out of time, lose your $5,000, and then go up underneath me to get it cheaper. I said,
right.
You know, it's not going to happen.
Right, right. Cool.
Okay, we're good.
All right, so January 3rd.
That's it.
Okay, beautiful.
Maybe we'll do another couple before then.
Yep.
In our party market.
And Janie, I've been thinking about you. I just, that's between, you know, you guys and us in the email, but that's tough. Life happens.
Thank you.
And yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for your loss there.
Thank you.
Who else? Opening gate, and we're talking about a deal closing on January 3rd. I like it.
Hey, Mike, I have a question. This is Terrence.
Yeah, Terrence, go ahead. There was kind of a tie there. So whoever was just tied with Terrence, I'll talk to you next. Go ahead.
All right, so I have a question here. So I
yes.
just hired a pretty decent skip tracer.
Yep.
And she doesn't have LexisNexis, but she's very familiar with it. She said
okay.
she could work for a bank where she used it all the time.
Yep.
So my first part of the question is, and we kind of spoke briefly earlier through the emails about which one would be the best subscription, being that it's a subscription fee. I would
yep.
like to do something like a monthly one if I could, because I'm not really sure exactly what she's going to need out of the subscription. So I just want to get something where I cover all my bases. And then for two, when I put out the application for her that she responded to about the trial of skip tracing like 30 addresses for me.
Yep.
Should I give her those 30 addresses from the list I pulled from ListSource and update that list? I mean, upload that list to FreedomSoft?
You can, or I would give her seller leads if you have bird dog leads that have come in. Yeah, you could give them buyer or seller, but if you have seller leads, I'd go right there. The answer,
yeah, okay.
the answer is you can do either. But,
okay.
Yep. Yeah, so we were going to ask this. So Terrence and I were talking earlier today through email. I was telling him I've never got set up with LexisNexis. Has anybody on here – let's start there. Has anybody on here got set up with LexisNexis and gone through the process with that company? Anyone? Okay. So I told Terrence that I'd ask the group to see. You know, really the instruction is about, he was asking me, does he get a subscription or does he hire somebody with access? You can do it either way. I've talked about this on here before in the past, but Rob has the Intellia subscription and then just gives his login to his VA. And I have always hired a VA that has access because I feel like it's less training on my part. And that's been my preference. And the bottom line is both can work. So what Terrence is looking to do is get set up with Lexis. And, Terrence, what I tell you, if you have some more information as this kind of unfolds, you know, I told you to send it into the coaching center. But I would think up front, since you don't know what your volume is going to look like, I would think you'd want to pay per search, something like that, as you get ramped up. And then, you know, once you have – you know, maybe multiple bird dogs, maybe you're in multiple markets, that kind of thing, and you know you're doing, you know, 600 or 800 of these polls a month, then you could probably go to a monthly something. So keep me in the loop because, actually, I'm kind of curious. I've been thinking about getting Lexis as well. Haven't really dug into it much, so I'll be curious to see what you find out.
Okay, will do.
I have a comment on that. This
yeah,
is Tom.
Tom.
I had a bird dog. That didn't have that. She was using Intellius. So I wasn't getting as good of returns as I'd like. So I found somebody who had access to LexisNexis. Well, it turns out it was somebody else's account. She was logging in on my behalf. And then she got sick and went AWOL for a month. She had a friend try to do it since it was a different IP address. The whole thing went south. The person who has LexisNexis found out that she was using it for somebody else. canceled her, canceled everything. So if they say they have access, find out what kind of access they have, because she was just basically using somebody else's login to use for me. So just
yeah, good tip. The other thing too, Terrence, I don't know where your VA is, but when you're on with that salesperson or whatever with Lexus, tell them, hey, here's the situation. You know, I'm here. This is why I'm using it, whatever. But I've got a VA that works out of, who knows, you know, I don't know where your VA is, if they're in the States, overseas, Philippines, or whatever, and say they're going to be logging in. Is that going to be an issue? Because they're on my team. So just get that stuff out of the way so you don't jump in and then figure out there are any surprises. I'm pretty sure that TLO will not allow, and I don't know exactly how it works, but they definitely track, like Tom just said, Lexus is too. They're tracking IPs where these things come in. And I can't remember who I was having this discussion with, but we track IPs just through FreedomSoft, and that software does it, right? So, it's an easy thing for our programmers to do, because that's how, if we have to blacklist somebody or do something like that, we're tracking IPs. It's really rare that that comes up, but we can do it. So you imagine LexisNexis or TLO, the kind of technology they have in place, they know exactly who's logging in and accessing the data. So just ask those questions up front so you don't get any surprises down the road. So, yeah, thanks, Tom. Anything else, Terrence?
No, that was good. Thanks.
Okay, yep. And then who – I didn't catch the name. Who tied with Terrence when they were chiming in?
This is Steve.
Hey, Steve.
How are you?
Salesperson, right?
Yes. Yes, so I've already got a couple leads. Hiring part, I just need some direction around the compensation process. What do you guys? How do you normally structure that? The rest of it, I think I can handle.
Yep. So the one thing I'll add in there, Steve, I know you've hired, and I'm just gonna tell you Rob's process, because there's for everybody's benefit. I know you've hired and fired a lot of people over the years, I'd imagine. So here's what Rob does. He posts an ad. Typically, this is for a salesperson now. Typically to the sales section. And here's the thing about this, and I'll tell you my preference. My preference is if you're working a remote market, to hire a salesperson that's local, right? Like I've got a sales guy, Chris, he's in Denver. When we need to do a training or we need to meet up at a coffee shop or something like that, we can just do that because we're in the same city, right? Now, that said, you can have a phone salesperson anywhere. Right? I mean, you can have overseas phone salespeople calling folks on Skype. So I'm just telling you my preference. But if you can, right, if you find somebody that's talented and willing and they're out of state, it can absolutely work. So post the ad, people will respond to it, and then Rob goes to a first interview, right? Just get them on the phone, ask them some questions. What's your background? What makes you tick? Yada, 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 right? See if there's a connection. If there is, he goes to a DISC test. DISC, we talk about it all the time on here, match up that personality. And if you were on last week on Thursday, I was talking to Larry. He's got a guy that he's worked with for a while who wanted to put on the phone, and the guy was willing. And, we were having a conversation through email, and I said, give him a DISC test or this is a waste of time. And the guy came back high C, and then some D and that kind of thing. And, we were talking it through. I just said, he's not a fit. Find that high D. High I's can work too. My preference is a high D. They're competitive. They're drivers. You want somebody like that as the rainmaker in your business, jumping on the phone. And so Larry he's back, got an ad post and talking to more people. So really match up the personality with the position. Now this other guy that's high C, that's somebody that likes to they want really clear instructions. They want everything laid out. You've got to hold their hand a lot up front, whereas a high D salesperson, right, they'll ask four questions and just say, give me the leads, where's my script, and they'll just go and run with it. So the high C's are more the accountant types, really thorough, like a checklist, that kind of thing. So obviously there's value in all personality types. Just make sure you get them in the right spot. So, Steve, back to back to that. So that's step two, DISC test. I just send people the free version. You can pay for one. It's $29, whatever you like.
Yeah,
Google search them.
That's what I'm saying.
You said you use something else.
Yeah, we've got something called Culture Index that we use, and
okay.
It's very similar.
Same
predictive
idea.
Index is another. Yeah, same idea. So he So anyway, I've got that part down. So tell me a little bit about
compensation. I'll tell you both. So Rob is paying, and his is a little more complicated. So let me start with the easy one, because I don't want to go into a ton of detail about his, because he and Brad have everybody W-2 at this point. Here's how I do it. $17,000 is the weekly goal. Now, if it's somebody's first week, you've got to adjust that for them a little bit. But when they get moving, I want their goal, or, you know, my guy's moving goal is $17,000 in wholesale fees generated weekly, and it resets midnight Saturday. All right. So if the 17,000 plus is hit, 20% of the wholesale fee goes to Chris when the deal closes. They don't get paid until closing.
Right.
If it's not hit for that week, so we're just tracking them back to the week of. You can do it. You can do it based on a number. You can do it based on a deal total. Right. Tie up 4+ this week, and we'll do this. What Rob has done now, and I'll tell you why he changed. He had it in place. 17,000 is the target. If you generate more than that, you're at 20%. He was paying. He brought on one. I think they got to 3 salespeople, and they were all hitting it. And they realized that was too much money. So they put him back on a $500 a month base.
Yep.
And then they have a more complex calculator that will calculate like the house spread, right? So it's somewhat of a moving target. It's about $7,000. And then whatever the salesperson can tie up, so they'll come in with like a house price for that neighborhood and a house spread. If the salesperson can buy better than the house price, they get 15% of the difference. And then on the disposition side, if the dispositions person can sell it for more than the house spread, then they also get 15% of that. So, again, I don't even like – sometimes I don't like to bring it up because it's a little more complicated. If you just run a straight 1099, give them a weekly target, they hit it, they go to 20. They don't hit it, they stay at 10, and they're paid at closing. That'll get you out of the gate. And there's really – I mean, you can run with that for the next 10 years. And not have it change. So
But I understand why Rob went to W-2 for the guys, because I think there's a little bit more control over the comp package or the compensation.
More control.
Total compensation, right? And then that way you're not getting guys that are outside the normal. I mean, you know, there's a zillion salespeople, so you want to pay them. You want to pay them what market rate is for whatever they're doing. So I get it.
Yep.
Okay. So you're just saying, you know, 15-20% of wholesale fee is a good working starting point.
Fees generated, yep. And then dispositions is an easier deal, right? Especially once you have relationships built with good buyers in an area. I mean, when the sales team is bringing legitimate deals to the table, and you have 10 to 20 legit buyers, your dispositions guy or gal is firing out a deal that morning, and it's rare that it goes 48 hours.
Right.
Without being scooped up. I mean, that's text message, email, a couple follow-up calls.
So
you've got some earnest money moving. So they max.
Yeah.
So they're paid 10%.
Got it, 10%
on the disposition side. Yep.
Okay. All right. So you've basically got roughly 25 to 30% of the deal already in commissions for your salespeople, based on however you have it structured. Okay.
Yeah.
So,
if everybody's killing it, you're paying 20 and 30%.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
So. And then, obviously, I'm feeding all the leads to them. Initially starting, you know, I had mentioned in email that part of the reason I was asking if this was because I don't have the time to get on the phone with all the sales, the potential sales leads. So you had mentioned initially I just need him fishing for me and finding somebody that's interested, and then I'll talk to him to do the deal. Is that the best way to get it started? And then once he's got some – he or she has some – experience, let them start doing more of the negotiation as well?
Yeah, I'll tell you how we did it, because I just ended up bringing on this guy Chris just within the last month or so. And so gave him, first of all, out of the gate, we didn't do any initial calls to sellers. I gave him the script that's in the coaching center, And he read it through real quick. I was on the phone with him. He looked it over. He's like, oh, this is simple. And I told him, I was like, yeah, these will be some of the easier phone calls that you've probably ever made. These are easy calls. And he hangs up, and he started making them. Within an hour, he had, you know, two or three people that were looking for a follow-up. So what we did is we made two phone calls with him as a follow-up and made the offer.
Okay.
And that was it. And so here's our process now. He gets somebody on the phone that's interested, and he says, you know, let me run this by our team. He calls myself and Paul, my business partner, acquisitions managers, whatever the case. And he goes, I'll call you back within 24 hours with our offer. And so what happens then is he will notify us that, you know, one deal, two or whatever, need the numbers put in there. And so I created a custom field in FreedomSoft that just says offer range. I go in, or Paul goes in really quick, and we look the property up fast online, run a little math, and put in, you know, 5 to 12 grand. And when Chris sees that, he knows he's starting at 5, but that we can go to 12 and still be okay.
Mm-hmm.
So his initial offer is going to come out of the gate at 5. And then I'll tell you guys what's really effective. To have your salesperson make that offer, and then set up the good cop, bad cop, right? When you buy a car, you have the salesperson that's on your side, and they go into the back office to the sales manager, who's the bad guy. And this, I mean, just about every car dealership in the country does this. This is just how it works, and it's been effective for years. So in the event that they say, no, 5 just isn't going to work, tell your salesperson to jump on their side and say, hey, let me go to bat for you on this. You know, let me get a hold of our acquisitions manager, Steve. Ultimately, he's the one that sets the price. But, you know, let me tell him what your bottom line number is and see where we can get. And now you've kind of got, you know, good cop salesperson going against you that is actually setting the price. And it's, you know, like I said, I brought Chris on here pretty recently, but it's been effective. So that's how we're playing.
Gotcha. So when you say 5 to 12, are you talking about your spread 5 to 12?
No, the range that we could pay. So wholesale fee will be on top of that, whatever we get it tied up for.
Okay. You were just giving an example. I mean, whatever the
just giving an example, yeah.
Right, I understand. Okay.
And if it's a beater, our spread's 5 to 7. If we have to be really low on it. But yeah, I've given him a range. That's just
right,
and then he knows to start at the low number, but we can we've got some room to come up.
And I'm sorry if I'm asking the same question here. You're giving him a range. When you say 5 to 12, that's 5 to 12 for what? For the actual?
Our buy price. Contract.
Your buy price. Understood.
Yep.
Okay.
Wholesale fee will be added on top of that.
Understood. Okay. So the buy price may be 50
or
70 or 65 or 30 or whatever it is, but you're giving him a range of that buy price.
Yeah. So I've got a live one. Just today I was talking to the seller. We put in a range of 5 to 10, and we're under contract at 7,500. So that's our price.
Gotcha.
Wholesale fee will go on top of that. Yep.
Understood. Okay. All right.
And it could be if it, you know, be based on circumstances. It could be I'll pay 6 grand for it and that's it. I'm not going any higher. So, but that gives us now down the road. I want Chris even doing that part. Like Rob's sales team goes right to offer. You know, they just plug the deal into a calculator and it spits out some numbers and they know what their range is. And you know, it's just based on the two anchors math. You can either use ARV or you can use rents and just run some stock numbers. And then knowing that if you need to adjust it, you just do it during the inspection period. So even
if
mistakes are made, you're fine.
So
you just go back and renegotiate.
Now, you told me a second ago that you're targeting – actually, two more questions. Let me ask the first one.
Yep.
So
the
disposition side, that should be easy enough for me to handle. Call up, get familiar with the buyers in the market, and then just once we've got a deal, just work it with the seller and then find somebody to buy it. I think what I'm hearing you saying is the selling side of the deal is not near as effort intense as the sourcing side. Is that correct?
Not usually. Based on two assumptions. Number one, that you have a deal where buyers are buying, right?
Yep. Understood.
That's why we go to the data. And number two, I mean, you want to talk to those. You're still selling deals to buyers.
I understand.
However, Yeah, you've got, I mean, you're going right to people that you've had a conversation with,
right.
You know, beating the phones, chasing down leads. Right. Yeah. Yep.
Gotcha. And so to do the, so, you know, when you're targeting, you're saying 17 grand a week in wholesale commissions.
Yep.
I had emailed you previously and you had given me kind of a ballpark 2 to 4 deals per 100 leads, right? So then I'm assuming we need, how many are you looking at on a weekly basis for the sales guy? Because I'm thinking that where I'm going here with this is that you're only going to have a limited amount of deals or leads in any particular city. So for the sales guy to really be working it full time, he's going to need several cities to work in. Is that correct or am I missing something?
Yeah, not necessarily. There were a couple questions in there. Full-time salesperson, typically 150 to 200 leads a week.
Okay.
So that means you've brought them in, you know, primarily bird dogs, whatever. Some of you are doing some direct mail and some other things, but 150 to 200, that can keep them fairly busy, right? That's on the phone consistently, you know, like looking at approaching 40 hours a week on the phone.
Yep.
So a couple hundred a week. And I'm just having a brain cramp. Steve, what else did you ask me?
Well, I was just asking in terms of flow.
Oh, multiple markets.
So you would need multiple markets. Cause
here's what's cool about vacant leads, and you've got to have this is why we're using FreedomSoft and different statuses and autoresponders and that kind of thing. Vacant leads get better with time, right? They're pretty unique that way. You send out a direct mail campaign and you get 20 responses and you let them sit for 6 months, we wouldn't consider those to be good leads. However, you go out and generate 20 vacant properties and wait 6 months, that lead gets better because vacant real estate gets more expensive as time goes on. So these are a unique set of leads that we're generating here. So it will eventually be multiple markets. I mean, that's kind of the goal, but you can grab a lot of leads in one place, and then, you know, you want to be tracking zip codes. So you've got to be keeping track of, hey, I gave this zip to this bird dog on this date, because 8, 9, 10, you know, 12 months down the road, we can come back, you know, and revisit some of these zip codes. The neighborhood will have changed a little bit. You can go into direct mail. I mean, you can mail the same list. Rob will mail the same list for 6 to 12 months. And it just, you're trying to catch somebody at the right timing. You will eventually, you'll eventually be in multiple markets. I mean, that's behind everything that we teach. I will tell you though that Rob and Brad are, they're not even looking at other markets outside of Memphis for the time being, because they're just jamming there. So,
I guess that makes sense, but I just don't know if the amount of deal flow is greater. I mean, when I run some of the numbers, it looked like there were quite a few deals available. Obviously, I'll see how it all works out. I think I've got 700 leads, 800 leads now in my city, and I'm thinking, okay, well, if you're only going to get 2 to 4 per, you know, that's still a fair amount, 15 to 20, 30 deals, so I guess that's not too bad.
Yeah, and here's the thing, too, is you've got to train your salesperson. For everybody that says no, they've got to be ending that phone call with, hey, do you mind if I follow up? What's the best email to reach at?
For sure.
Let me just stay in touch every 45 days or so and see where you're at. So it turns into some people say yes now. Other people go into like a warm follow-up. Other people use call like a cold follow-up. So as long as you're working those leads, right, you're going to pull more, you know, call it a couple per 100 out of the gate and then, you know, hopefully multiple more over time.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yep.
All righty. Well, I think that clears it up for me. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Cool. Yeah, good stuff. Who else?
Mike, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
I'm still having an all the time trying to keep all this stuff tracked. My bird dog got a bunch of different zip codes, and I think it was at one point I was giving him a different email for each zip code, but you said not to do that. Well, it turns out
different one campaign per bird dog. So there will be multiple zips in that campaign. That's how I do it.
Right. Well, I was seeing it as you know, that way you could get it down and you'd know which zip code. Nah, but it's all
right.
The same bird dog, so you want it all in one. That's one campaign is one bird dog, correct?
That's how I do it, yeah. Yep.
Okay, so in the meantime, I think he's going to have to send them again because I think I gave him those addresses and he sent them there, and now I don't have any of them. You know, he's sending me bills, and I don't have any of them, so I think he's going to have to resend
okay.
them all back to the same address. But
yeah, just do one campaign per bird dog. That way, you know, have them grab their smartphone, email them that unique email address tied to the campaign, save it, right? I tell them to create a new contact in their phone called Vacant Leads or Vacant Properties, whatever. Save that unique email address to that contact record in their phone, and that way just eliminate confusion, right? You snap a photo and email it to your Vacant Leads contact, and it just all comes into the same place. Now, I like your part on zip codes, right? Because you start talking to buyers and they say, oh, this is, you know, I've had four buyers tell me they want this particular zip code. So if you have
right.
leads there, when your VA is doing the skip trace, a couple things. Tell your bird dogs when they type in the property address in the subject line to include the zip code. I know what city they're in, right? Because they're in wherever I hired them.
Right.
But tell them to put the zip code in there. And that way, when your VA goes to do the skip trace, they copy and paste the address in FreedomSoft. They can copy and paste the zip. And then you can go in to that campaign and just do a zip code search. And you can tell your salesperson, say, hey, we have 1,000 leads in your campaign, but I want you to go through and pull out the 80210 zip code, right? I've had 5 people tell me they want to buy right there, so let's focus our efforts there. And they can just go in, search the zip, and pull up that list and call those first.
So
you still
okay,
want
so,
you still want the zip.
So where are you saying for the bird dog to put the zip?
The bird dog, okay, so I'm your bird dog, and I'm out in front of a house, and I take a photo, and I go to email that photo, and I send it just to my Vacant Leads contact in my phone, and then the subject line of the email is 123 Main Street, and then I could put Denver 80210, send.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And that way, it'll come in, because without that, your VA has to put it into Google Maps to grab the zip. So if your bird dog does it, they know which zip code they're driving anyway, and it'll be right there. Your VA can just copy the address, copy the zip code, save it, click the find the owner button, and do the skip trace.
Okay.
Yep. So do it that way.
All right. The other thing that I'm having a problem with my with my sales guy, although I haven't heard from him and he won't answer my calls anymore, so it might be moot, but we have these different colors, and I had certain colors. He kind of commandeered that and made his own color coding system. And when you use a salesperson and they
yep.
have a follow-up in four, like I have one that says follow-up in 3 months.
Yep.
That's something he should be doing. He should be figuring out a tickler system for himself, correct?
Yeah, and he can just set up a task. If it's just a one-off like that, he can just create a task, put it out 3 months, call this person with the phone number and save it.
He can create a task for himself?
Yep. Yeah, just on the dashboard there in FreedomSoft, if you click over on the house, the far left tab, there's a task manager right there. And you can just create one. So, yeah, that would – yeah, salesperson's doing all that follow-up for sure.
Right.
Yep.
Okay.
You can also do it by status if you want. I mean, that's the thing is it just – whatever the system is. And I – you know, honestly, when I brought Chris on, I said, hey, man, what are you used to using? What are you familiar with? And then I tried to make it, you know, they're going to have to learn some new things if they've never used FreedomSoft before. But, what are you accustomed to doing? Because at the end of the day, you want to know if somebody's comfortable with a certain method or whatever, if they're effective, I'm good with it. I'll cater to the good salesperson in whatever way I can, right? And that I learned that straight from Rob. I mean, this a good salesperson's a rainmaker for the company. So help them out. See what they like. See what they're good with. That kind of stuff. So.
Okay. Right. Thanks.
Yep. Who else?
And this is Larry.
Hey, Larry.
All right.
I was just
so
talking about you.
Yeah, I heard everything. So you know what I've been doing. I've been controlling my emotions because I've been talking to people that I would have normally hired, but I'm pushing back because of the personality test results. And I agree with what's going on because the guy that I told you that I'd like that I sent you, the second guy that I sent you.
Yeah.
He failed one of the verbal tests during the phone interview. Like, I told him that I didn't think he was the right guy because he didn't have a lot of experience. He said, yeah, you might be right.
That's exactly
like,
it.
So I told him.
I'm glad you brought that up. Some of you have heard this, but it'll be good to hear again. So what Rob always does when he's hiring a salesperson is they'll be having a conversation, and he will make a comment. Something along the lines of, you know, I'm really looking for that rock star salesperson on my team, and I'm just not thinking that's you. Or he'll say, he'll put like a grade to it. He goes, you know, I'll be honest with you. After talking to you for a few minutes, I'm looking for that A+ phone salesperson, and I'm kind of getting like a B- feel from our conversation. And then he just shuts up. And the thing about it is, he's intentionally putting tension into the conversation to see what they'll do. And so, right, Larry just had a guy that said, you might be right, and folded up, not the right personality type. Somebody that's high D, strong salesperson, like Rob did this when he hired Brad, because they partnered on the real estate side. He's having lunch with him, and he throws this on the table. And Brad looks at him like he has four eyes. And he goes, have you not been paying attention to our conversation in the last 30 minutes? I mean, he got defensive and fought back. And so Rob's kind of chuckling inside going, you know, I found it. This guy's perfect. But, yeah, that's a great it's a little uncomfortable the first few times you do it. But you're basically just going to call them out and say, I'm not hearing rock star. And then just be quiet and see what they say. Nice job, because that guy folded up, not your guy.
Right. So I have some people that I'm having a platform issue. So I have a job posted on Craigslist.
Okay.
And I have my hesitation about that for the sales. It was excellent for the bird dogs. I have more bird dogs than I can use right now. So now that I'm going for the salesperson, and because I really want a real salesperson, I'm not sure how many of these people are looking on Craigslist, but that's not my comment. My comment is I got kicked off of Indeed. My ad got kicked off of Indeed, and I don't even know why. I think I'm going to put one on Ladder tonight. So I have two things that I'm doing in parallel. I only have like 2 hours of phone time during the week because I took an engineering job.
Yeah.
That I'm hating. So that's putting more pressure on me getting the salesperson because I don't want to waste all of that time during the day that I could be making offers.
Yep.
So I have the Craigslist ad going, and I do have some responses from that. I haven't officially rejected the high C guy, even though he really wants to do it. But
hey,
I'm not getting
Larry, do this. Grab a link, and I don't think this should be an issue. Although I've never tried it this way, but what if you grab, because you have limited time, so what if you grab a link, post your ad, and then say, here's the first thing I want you to do is go to this link, take a free disc test, and then send me back. You'd have to put your email in there. Or you could say, go do this first, step one. Go take this free disc test, or just say this free personality test. It'll only take you, you know, 12 minutes. And then say, after that, shoot me a reply. Here's right, either reply to this ad or whatever, with three sentences telling me why you're the rock star I'm looking for, and let me know what your personality type is. And that way, you can, instead of going reply, conversation, disc test, only to find out they're not a good fit, test it that way, build it into your ad, and see if you can get that to weed out. Because you only, right, you've only got a couple hours to work with. So let's see if you can automate even another step of that process.
Right. So I'll do that. But I'm also going to, you know, call some of these sellers and buyers myself during the week. And I can respond to the people that apply to the ad during the daytime. But my phone time, I basically wasted last week realizing that I'm not consistently calling buyers and sellers. And I've, now that I've launched the ad for the salesperson, in the meanwhile, I'm going to still push through and make some of the calls.
Cool.
While I'm interviewing people.
Yep, that works. So yeah, that's even better if you can do interviews during the day, because you don't have to do a, you don't need a 45-minute conversation with these people, not at all.
Right.
10 minutes, get a feel for where they're at, you know, trust your gut, see what their background looks like, what motivates them, and then just, I always ask people, what do you do for fun? What makes you tick? Because it's just more fun to work with and around people that you have something in common with. So, you know, just get a feel for who they are, send them to the disc test. But yeah, you'll find the right person. And that's funny, when you made that comment, it totally works. And you said, I'm not seeing a rock star here. And then the guy says, you might be right. So
yeah, that was hilarious. And I liked him too.
But that is not, you want somebody that's relentless on the sales side. Like, they just can't wait to make the next dial so they can get the next deal tied up. I mean, Chris texts me throughout the day. He's like, hey, I got another one. Talking to this, I got three more follow-ups tomorrow. I mean, he's wired for it. Not everybody is. It's worth going slower now to make a good hire than going through three or four that are bad fits and just getting frustrated. So,
what's your take on a call center?
You know what? I want the right personality on there. I've tried them. And, we can do phone sales and this, that, and the other, and this is right up. We just spent money and spun our wheels. I'm telling you, it's all about the personality of the person that's in sales. And somebody that's just there, most call centers will pay like a minimum wage or a base or whatever, and nobody's motivated. They're like, I didn't get many appointments set today, but you know, I'm still getting paid on Friday. That is not the mentality I want in the sales role. I want somebody that is specifically 1099. Now, Rob does it different with W-2, but if there's no, a $500 a month base, those guys have to produce or they're starving, right? So that still works, but you have to tie it. Find the right personality and tie them to commission. That's the way you want to set it up.
No, I'm pushing through that now, so that's where I am.
Yep. I think call centers could be okay, but you never know who they're putting on the phone. And they probably – here's the thing. The high-D, really good phone salespeople, they're not working any job that's not commissioned because they know that how much money they can go make. And so for a call center to say, you know, we'll put you on $10 an hour and then this little bump, they're not even attracted to it. Why would I go make that when I can go be 1099 somewhere and kill it and make $250,000 a year?
What about using Upwork to find a person?
You know, you could. I want somebody here that's local. I'm not going to hire this overseas.
Right.
I want somebody that's local here in the States. So Upwork is, you know, I don't even know if Upwork has, and honestly, I've never looked. But Upwork wants hourly because I think they take 20% of the hourly from what I've heard.
I understand.
They want to bill hours. What's that?
You see what I'm trying to accomplish, though? I'm trying to get to a wider audience because I agree with what I'm looking for.
Post in different cities in the sales section. They don't have to be local. If nobody's replying in your market, just go post it in either nearby same state. I'll tell you that, and I think I only talked about this once before, but Salt Lake City is like the phone sales capital of the United States. I mean, there are just call centers everywhere in Salt Lake. So you can just post in the Salt Lake Craigslist and see what happens.
Okay.
As one of them. Yeah, it's known. Salt Lake City is known for massive sales floors and just big sales operations, phone sales operations. So, there's talent all over the place. You can even go. I prefer sales because, and I think I was talking about this last week on Thursday, but if somebody's not wired to do sales, they won't even look in the sales section. It doesn't weed everybody out, but some people just say, oh, I'll do anything but sales. I hate selling, whatever, and so they won't even look for a job there. So that's why I kind of like the sales page on or the sales section on Craigslist because I know it's weeding some people out automatically. So, but yeah, keep the ad relevant. Post it in a few different markets if you have to. And you'll find the high D. They're out there, no doubt. And I'll tell you what, guys, this is a cool opportunity. And you know, I know that you all know that, but real estate is sexy. People want to be tied into it because it just has this. Everybody's heard that real estate's created more millionaires than anything else. Especially in a market like today, real estate's on the up and up. You know, prices are rising. People are talking about it, but. You know, Chris is, he's a good phone sales guy. He sold all kinds of stuff over the phone and he's loving this. He can't believe how easy it is. Simple conversations with people, easy to connect. And he just thinks this is the greatest thing he's ever run across. So, I mean, you got to know that. I mean, you have a really cool opportunity for the right salesperson. So this can be a good fit because you all know how to generate great leads. And he has a lot of success getting a hold of people when we go bird dog vacant leads through LexisNexis. He's tried a group of Intellius, and we're back to Lexis full time. He has a high success rate getting people on the phone. The conversations are easy. We go to offer. So yeah, know that, right? You're bringing a unique opportunity. You know, be confident in what we have to offer here. This is a cool gig for somebody that's good on the phone. High ticket items, easy conversation. You know how to generate great leads. I mean, it's right up their alley. So.
Thanks.
Yeah, good stuff, Larry. You'll find the right fit. So, yeah, in the meantime, you know, you've got to be on the phone in the limited time you have. And that's just part of it, right? As business owner, we have to wear different hats through different seasons. So, you know, make sure somebody's on the phone, whether that's you or somebody else. Who else?
This is Dennis.
Hey, Dennis.
All right, I was I'm still working through my bird dogs.
Yep.
And I wanted to ask about this. One of the things that I was doing that I did with one of them is they keep taking my ad down off of Craigslist. I don't know if that's because I'm overseas, but I'm still working on that.
It might be.
I'm still working on that. They keep removing it. Every time I put one up, they remove it. But I got a couple people working, and one of the things I did with one of them is I took my the vacant house list from All Freedom Soft and scrubbed it and put it in the zip code, and I sent one of them in the zip code to verify the houses. Is that
okay?
Did you think that's, you know?
You know, yeah, it's off script, and so I'm still going to go back to the vacant house feed in FreedomSoft is decent, but it's not as good as putting eyes on them. It's just not. So I've had Chris, when we were, I was shuffling bird dogs and whatever, and I said, hey, man, let me pull a bunch of these vacant house leads. I had him skip trace quick. He's had very little luck with those. And the good conversations are coming from the field leads.
Okay.
He's maybe at one or two from the Postal Service. So if it was your only option, yeah, it's right up there. But it's not.
Okay.
We have a better way. So have them go drive, put eyes on the property, bring those in, skip trace those. It's your best bet.
Okay.
Those leads will outperform the Postal Service leads all day long.
Okay.
Yep. It's a good plan B, but don't make it plan A.
All right. Yeah, I don't know why they keep taking my lead down. I had it in jobs and real estate jobs, and they removed it. So I was wondering why I wasn't getting a lot of calls. I figured out that they just removed it. So I'm going to put it up again under email addresses.
Throw it. I don't like to post in gigs, but see if they'll leave it alone down there in your case and see what happens. You may have to go to a friend or family member back here and tell them exactly what to do. But yeah, see what happens. I don't know how Craigslist is being out of the country like that.
Okay. Once they flag your IP, then for a period of time they automatically start rejecting what you put on after that.
Yeah, I was wondering if it no matter what comes out of your IP now.
Exactly.
If it's just gonna kill it. So
it's not permanent, but like for a period, like even here, like when I was posting some things to buyers, and I was doing multiple cities, so it'll last for a couple of days. But then once they hit it, I couldn't just repost. It would shut me down in that city.
Okay.
Hey, Dennis, you could try Backpage. There's some traffic on there, other ad sites. I'm trying to think. I think Oodle has some real estate activity, maybe. OODLE.
I paid a virtual assistant that had this IP masking thing, and he was able to, because I was actually looking for buyers in different markets last year, about 2 years ago. So and I wanted somebody to do it daily, and it was multiple cities. So he did it, and he was able to do it successfully with he was masking his IP. And even when they shut him down, because he was masking his IP, he just replaced it, and it would last for a while.
Okay. All right, that must be because I was working dorm, Hampton Roads, and Kentucky. Not at the same time, but I that might be some of the thing I'm working at. I have had ads in three different locations.
That's why they're shutting you down.
Okay.
Craigslist is set up for you to do something in one city. They're not set up for like national stuff, even though people do it and you can get away with it for a time. But once they catch on to it, it starts one by one just shutting your ads down.
Okay. All right. That makes a lot more sense. So I'm gonna try these other things and work through that.
Do you have a bird dog or two in place that are willing to drive for you?
Yes, I have one in dorm and one in Kentucky.
Perfect. Go to that. I tell you what, do this. Go to them and have a quick conversation. Say, hey, here's what I need, and tell them whatever that number is, 50 a week, 100 a week, right, whatever you want to pay for, and you have in the budget, and say, is that something you can handle? If yes, I'll pull my ads down and I won't look for anybody else. And see if you can get them to commit to just being your person, because you don't. If you have two, if you have a person in each market that's willing to drive, you may not need anybody else.
Okay.
So, yeah, see if they'll commit to you and say, "Hey, here's what I need. If you tell me that you can be available, I'll quit looking for somebody else."
Okay.
And you can just you can grab all my marketing budget there for leads in wherever you're at.
Are they making you pay every time that you put it back up, or do they refund your money?
For Craigslist?
Your job postings.
Oh, I hadn't paid any money, so that might be a problem.
No, it wouldn't let you do it. Like in the cities that I've chosen, it charged me to post jobs both times. Like mm-hmm. in my home market, it charged me, and I only did it with this coaching. So when I was doing my bird dog in El Paso, it charged me, and then when I did the sales guy here, it charged me. But when I had the one in El Paso, I left it up. Even after I had two people that were working for me, I kept taking applicants as backups. And then once I had too many people calling me and enough backups, I took it down. So I didn't have a reason to have more than one city up at a time.
Okay. Yeah, I hadn't paid for it, so maybe I didn't try the paid side either. Maybe I should try that. But I have the one. I'm had a conversation with the bird dogs I have now.
Yeah, that's the thing, Dennis. If you have a few that are willing to go, you don't need another ad.
Okay.
Because I've got one guy that I had to tell him to slow down. He was bringing mm-hmm. in $500 to $600 a week.
Mm-hmm.
And we did, you know, I was going through a couple skip tracers, so we got behind. And then, you know, Chris can call 150 a week, something like that, even working a lot mm-hmm. of hours. So I just, yeah, I had to tell him to chill out. So you don't need 10.
Okay.
I mean, one or two and you're dialed. So as long as they're willing to put in, they're willing to drive. So, yeah, nice stuff, man. Making some good progress from Japan. I love it. That's cool.
Mm-hmm. I'm working on a offer right now on a deal.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's something that you wanted to deal with.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk it through. Where's it at?
It's in dorm.
Okay. What does it look like?
And it's a 2-1 with a bonus. It's an all brick rental.
Yep.
750.
Okay, 2-1, 750. Two anchors, right out of module 2. ARV. This is a little rental neighborhood or a flip neighborhood?
A rental neighborhood.
Yep, which was my assumption, but just wanted to check. What does it rent for?
Right now, she has someone in there for $700.
Okay, so it's occupied.
But it's occupied, but it normally rents for, well, I mean, the rent range is $700 is the low end,
okay.
$900 is the high end in Section 8.
Do you have it under contract, or are you wondering how much to offer at this point?
How much to offer? She is willing to, how much to offer? Because she owned it free and clear, so she's open to seller financing also.
Okay. Does the renter want to stay? The tenant?
She hasn't bothered the renter yet. She's just trying to get out of the landlord market.
Gotcha.
So yeah.
Yeah, there are a few outside pieces here, but let's just run a couple numbers. So $700 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We're always going to take 30% off the top for expenses. For, you know, 10% property management, 10% vacancy, 10% repairs. So 700 times 0.7 is 490. So that's your net monthly rent. Net monthly rent, all right? Multiply that by 12 to get net annual, $5,880. And then I always just like to know what a 12 cap deal would be. So I just divide that by 0.12 or 12%. So 49,000 all in. And at those numbers right there with the current renter in place, that's a 12% first year return if you're all in at 49 grand. Now, what? Just because somebody's in there doesn't mean the house is in great condition. So is
mm-hmm.
it in decent condition or?
Yes, she just replaced the roof. She just did all
okay.
the electrical. She
yeah.
redid the sidewalk.
Yep.
And she just hadn't redone the kitchen and bath, but they're in a decent condition.
Yeah, so even to finish that off, a kitchen and a bath, you know, you probably knock out for about 10 grand.
Mm.
Something like that. And it sounds like they're livable now. So that gives you kind of an idea. A 12 cap buyer that's just looking for a turnkey rental would look at this deal at 49 based on what you're telling us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, there's a you have to see what are the buyers in the area. You know, will they just run the numbers at a 12 cap and see what's going on? Let me ask you this: do you have you looked up value of the property? Do you have an idea what you think it would sell for? Because that may not be anywhere near 49.
Oh yeah, they're buying in the area for 60-70.
For a little 2-1-700 for this size?
Yes.
Jackpot. I like that. Yeah. What are you planning to offer?
50. I was planning to offer 50.
Yeah, I wouldn't start there.
Okay.
I wouldn't start there. Well, first of all, go in and look at comps. Here's where that list, when you buy it out of list source and map it, here's where that comes in really handy, because you can now go into this neighborhood and look at the other pins in the area and see what the absentee owners are paying, and have a look at that. Have you looked at that data yet?
Yes.
And what are the purchase prices in the neighborhood of 50? Or are they lower?
Yeah, the purchase price in the neighborhood was 55 to 63.
No kidding. Okay. So, yeah, you have looked into this. I like it. Yeah, in that case, here's the thing. If 50's on the low end and you know that's where you could start, I still wouldn't start there.
Mm-hmm.
I'd start lower and make it come up, or, you know, make the seller come up. Don't leave money on the table. Here's what you want to know, and maybe you know the answer to these questions. Is the current renter month to month, or are they in a lease agreement?
Month to month.
Okay. And you said, so that's good, right? The bad thing is that they've got this rented below market rents. The good thing is they're month to month. So that, you know, that's obviously easier to make a change if you had to. Here's what I would do, Dennis. Go talk to as many buyers as you can in that area, couple different places. Go to Craigslist just for a real quick, see if you can get 5 to 10 landlords on the phone. Go to Craigslist in that market. Go to the rental section where landlords have properties posted in that city, and type in the zip code and see if you can pull current rental listings in the area. You can do the same thing on GoSection8.com. Those will be Section 8 rentals. But go to GoSection8.com, type in the zip code, and it'll pull up listings in that area. Now, as you click through them in GoSection 8, most of the time the phone number is over on the right-hand side. Sometimes you'll have there's a little blue button that says click to show number. And just call them up. Say, hey, Dennis, I found your rental ad on GoSection8.com. Are you still buying property in this zip code? And just pick their brain. Say, I've got some marketing that just dropped here. You don't have to tell them that you have a deal yet, right? And say, how do you come to your buy price in this neighborhood? You obviously already own there. Is it just do you run your math based on square footage, number of beds and baths, you know, that kind of thing? And you can go right in your deal just in conversation. Say, I've gotten somewhat familiar with the zip code. It looks like, you know, there are a lot of 2-bed, 1-bath houses between 700 and 900 square feet. How do you price those out? And talk to them and get their feedback on exactly how they're going to run the numbers.
Okay.
And you can leave that conversation with, hey, I anticipate having a deal or two here in the next week or so. So expect my call back when I get these things tied up, knowing that you can go to offer right when you hang up the phone.
Awesome.
At least start the conversation with your seller.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, talk to five. Find five quick. Have a conversation. Figure out how they run their numbers. There will probably be some similarities. And then you can go right back on the phone with that seller.
Okay.
And then, you know, assuming it goes to contract, now you know exactly who to call. Call the same people back. Say, hey, I told you I had marketing. Talked to you 4 days ago. Here's an address. Take a look at this one. Yep.
All right. as far as selling finance deals, that's something I shouldn't get into with buyers, or how about that?
You know, what do you mean with buyers? You mean with sellers, owner finance?
With buyers, because like some say, like with this one, it's free and clear. Suppose her price is like she want close to market value, but she'll be willing to take, you know, $300 a month payments or something like that.
Right. Let me ask you this. You want to generate cash, or you want, because this is a unique one, and I'm glad you asked the question. Where are you at? Are you looking to generate cash, or do you want to see what she would take owner financing, and you become the owner, and it's your rental to manage, and you know, you pick up the monthly cash flow. And I would say some of that has to do with what kind of price and what can you negotiate on a monthly basis. It's only renting for $700 a month, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for you to make any kind of cash flow for this thing and to take on the headache and the management, you know, you'd have to figure out what is that worth a month to you? $150, $200, $250? Because that's going to come off the $700. And now we're talking about, you know, how much money are you trying to pay back and how long is that going to take?
Okay.
So you don't have a big chunk of money to work with. But what I would say is, I would say lead with the cash offer. If you can just flip the wholesale deal, fantastic. But, yeah, it's probably worth exploring. And say, hey, if you were to own or finance it, you know, what would you accept on a monthly basis? And then that really just comes down to, what are you after? I mean, if you had four other wholesale deals closing this month and you could potentially put a little rental in place, maybe that would be, you know, your plan A in this case. If you're just trying to turn a paycheck, you know, and get some cash coming into the business, that's not going to do it. Getting $100 or two a month in cash flow. I mean, especially if you're paying her five and you're getting two and something goes wrong, you're the new owner. That's on you. That $200 a month can get eaten up real quick with a furnace or a stove or a water leak, or you know what I mean?
Right.
So what Brad and Rob do when they master lease, because what they'll do is they'll fix the property up, sell it, then they'll master lease it back. So the lease agreement's in place with them, and then they'll go sublease, you know, sublet the place, and make the difference. And on a lot of deals, they're averaging like $135 a house. And you say, mm-hmm. wow, the headache for only $135. Well, here's why. Because they just got done doing the construction and the fix-up. So the roof is certified, the furnace is certified, the water heater is certified, and they also vetted the tenants. So, mm-hmm. you know, chances are they're not going to bump into too many mechanical, 911 call on Christmas Eve type scenarios. And so that to them is why it's worth it. But in a case like this, you've been told what condition the property is in, but you haven't gone through and made sure, you know, everything's operating and all those certifications are in place. Everything's been tested and all the issues fixed. So totally different game here.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah, so I would say cash sale first. But I'm telling you, go and talk to 5 to 10 landlord buyers, figure out how they run their numbers and what they'd be willing to pay in that neighborhood, and then just use that data and go formulate your offer.
Okay. Yeah, that was.
And you can absolutely. You're talking to a seller, or I mean an end buyer. You can say, all right, Dennis, hypothetical. I call you back in 4 days, like Friday this week, and I say, hey, I've got a little 2-1 tied up. You know, there's a tenant in place. House is in, you know, decent livable condition, whatever. Maybe the roof was just done. Right, they don't know that you're painting the actual picture.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, I bring it to you with a sticker price of $47,000. You're telling me that you'll take it? And they say, all day, every day, bam. You got to go tie it up at 40.
Okay.
However that weaves, right? You can work the actual deal into a hypothetical.
Okay.
That's what they say. Yep.
All right. Sounds good. I actually like that. That is awesome. All right. I have a couple other ones that I was working and I didn't know how to work them. So now that I know when I talk to my buyers, I actually can hypothetically weave the, not just saying, hey, I got a deal at this price. You know,
yep.
What would you do if I had a property at this price?
Yep.
Yeah. While I'm trying to find the deals, because that's one of the things that I've been trying to get. I've been getting more flip guys on the phone than landlord
yep.
buyers, and I've been trying to get more landlord buyers than flip guys.
Yeah, I'll tell you. You want to sell to both, so yeah, talk to both.
Okay.
A lot of the bigger markets, you know, not so much in the Denver, Seattle's, and Portland's, but you get the most normal markets, quote-unquote, where there is both low-price and high-priced housing. There's always both and. There are the trendier spots where the fix-and-flip investors want to buy, and then there are just those good rental neighborhoods that the landlords want. And, you know, you'll come across some buyers that just do both.
Mm-hmm.
They'll say, you know, if it needs to be fixed up or it's in a little flip neighborhood, that's what I'll do. But I'm also building a portfolio simultaneously. So, yeah, both and.
Okay.
Yep. Good stuff. Any other questions, Dennis?
No, that was it.
Okay.
I get these ants up.
Hey,
no, I just got to talk to these.
Talk to five
I'll
to
talk
ten
to my
sellers.
Guy.
Get 5 to 10 buyers. Figure that out. Get on with that seller, and then shoot me an email here next few days. Let me know how that all pans out.
Okay.
Cool. Who else?
Mike, this is Mike Gerace. How are you?
Good. What's up, Mike?
Hey. So I was going through, and I sent out or posted my ads for bird dogs actually today. So,
yep.
In one of the sections, it has. What you should make sure it's very clear for them to look for and what not to. And it has no for rent properties and no for sale by owner properties, but I've heard in other conversations and stuff that those are potential buyers as the renters, people that might own those properties are vacant or abandoned, and then on the for sale by owner may or may not be listed. So is there a better... better thing to consider with
you
those
can do it.
Scenarios?
You can do it that way. Yeah, as your bird dogs are out, if you want to. I have them typically if it's for rent. You can go either way on this. But, yeah, you can. Hey, if you see a for rent sign while you're out, grab me the number. And I don't know if you just, you know, walk over the side of the road, text it to me really quick, whatever, I'll pay you a couple bucks for it. You can absolutely have that. You can also, if they're in a fix-and-flip neighborhood, you can have your bird dogs pull off or pull over every time they see a dumpster or roll off out front. Have them go inside and just say, hey, walk in and, you know, just tell them that you're the field rep for a real estate outfit and is the owner on site. And just have them chat. And if they happen to be, say, hey, can I get your number? I'd love to have our acquisitions manager give you a call. We've got, you know, just give them a little script. We've got some properties coming in this area. Are you still buying? If they're not, see if they can track down the owner's number, right? And you can do the same thing with a for sale by owner. Now, a for sale by owner is typically not a buyer, and they're probably not always. They're probably. I'm trying to think of a typical mindset. Yeah, they can work. I usually don't want them. I want the vacants. For the most part, I guess if the house was vacant and it had a for sale by owner sign in the front yard, you could do something there. We just had better luck with the ones that were just boarded up, you know, nothing brewing. But, yeah, you can handle that either way. If there are a lot of them in your market for whatever reason, you know, those are all relationships that may go somewhere. So, have your bird dogs collect them. As far as what we typically pay for is a vacant house lead. Is what I want,
so
unless otherwise noted, right?
Okay, so if they are
yep.
vacant and boarded up and abandoned but still have these signs on them, they're still a high potential, obviously.
Yeah, you're probably not going to have vacant for rent and boarded up. That's not going to
okay.
exist.
Okay.
You could have boarded up and for sale by owner in the front yard.
Okay.
What you don't want is a Remax for sale sign, sure. Right? You have to be very clear on that.
Yeah, clear.
It's not that all signs don't fly. Yeah, I would say if, you know, bird dogs get confused easily on signs, they can. So if you feel like your bird dog can handle it, introduce that piece. If they can't, just tell them drive for vacants.
All right.
Yeah, if you're in a flip neighborhood, though, give them a quick little script. Yeah. Not all bird dogs are comfortable doing that, so ask them. But if they're chatty, have them go find owners where the roll-offs are, because those are great buyers, obviously. Because, right, they've already bought in the neighborhood, and they're active.
Okay.
Active
and
there.
They should actually probably be on our list source list as well.
They should. Yeah, depending on when they bought it and when you bought the data from. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, if you bought the last 90 days and they bought the house 6 months ago, you wouldn't have them on there. But assuming that transaction was in the time frame you purchased, then they would be, yes.
Okay.
You got it.
Right.
Anything else, Mike?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Yeah, good stuff. Who else?
Good question,
hey,
as always.
Hey, Mike, it's Ryan.
Hey, Ryan, how are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Good.
Good. Okay. Progress as far as the modules, I'm all the way through, halfway through module 4.
Okay.
So I'll finish that up tonight. I have my ad out for, I know I sent you the email about the posting for the bird dogs. But I went ahead and got that out there. So I expect to get some, you know, some feedback and hopefully have someone on the road in the next day.
Nice.
Hopefully. That's what I'm
yep.
hoping for. I also have an ad out there for a skip tracer. So I'm hoping to gain some traction on that within the next day and hopefully have someone, you know, ready to go by tomorrow. That's my goal.
Yep. Perfect.
I have someone going by tomorrow. So as far as that, if I don't have anyone on the road before I get an actual VA for the skip tracing, what leads should I give the skip tracer to test on? So should I pull some
pull
vacant
from the
stuff?
vacant
okay.
houses feature
okay.
in Freedom Soft. Yep.
Just give them 30 of them and tell them to go at it.
Yep. And then as soon as you have field leads, switch them right over. So
okay.
keep those in separate campaigns.
Okay. Do the 30
so
test. Okay.
Yep. And if you get somebody that comes back and they sound like, you know, yeah, I've had, you know, LexisNexis and blah, blah, blah. How long have you been skip tracing for? You know, I put that in the ad. How long have you been
okay.
skip tracing for? What services do you have access to? If they come back and say, I mean, somebody could be fairly decent at skip tracing in a couple weeks. You know, there are some. I'm sure there's some little tricks that they learn over time. But if somebody's pretty solid and they're ready to rock and roll, just give them some leads.
Okay.
Say, hey, go knock it out. I mean, if you find somebody that's better later, you can just trade them out, right?
Okay.
Trade them out
right.
in your FreedomSoft account. Delete one, add the other, that kind of thing. But yeah, they can jump in and so if you're gonna pull a group of leads from the vacant houses thing. You can adjust, right? There are a couple advanced search options. Don't just put in like the state and city and hit go, hit search. Go click that advanced search button.
Okay.
And I like to check that little out of state owner box near
okay.
the bottom. Again, we're playing percentages. So, you know, got a vacant house in Denver, but the owner lives in, Seattle. Higher likelihood that they'd be interested in selling. Just because, you know, there's some distance between them and the property, that kind of thing. So, yeah, I like to put that in there. And you can also go back a couple years. So, like, the last sale date, here's how you can use that because it's got last sale date in there that's pulling from public records. So you could go back, like, 2 to 3 years
okay.
and say, you know, this thing last changed hands 2 to 3 years ago, put in a couple dates, like January 1st, 2013 to December 31st, 2015. Something like that. So that's the last time it's sold, and the Postal Service is saying that it's vacant. If it and the reason we do that is if the sale date was 30 days ago and it's still vacant, an investor could have picked it up, and they just haven't done anything with it yet, right? But they just bought it, so probably not a high need or a high motivation to sell. So again, we're just, you know, think through what the data is, and we're always looking for, and that's what this whole method is built on, is let's get intelligent about trying to talk to sellers who we think are likely to be motivated to sell.
Okay.
So, yep.
Okay. And now with those, with the skip tracing, the VA, how are you guys usually paying them? Are you paying them on a, you know, a per lead basis?
Depends. So if you find them through Upwork, some are paid per lead and others are paid by the hour. So it just depends.
Okay.
And then what they do through Upwork is they track either how many they did and they submit it through Upwork, or they track how many hours they worked and you just pay them right through Upwork. Yep.
Now, do you kind of cap them on a per day?
You can. Yeah, you want to control that. So, you know, don't just turn them loose. Say, you know, when you're hiring them, hey, I'm looking for 2 hours a day this week. And it'll just kind of be as needed moving forward. Make sure that works with them. And then, yeah, they will work to whatever arrangement you set up.
Okay. And what usually are you guys paying those guys per hour?
$4 to $7.
Okay.
Or anywhere from, I've heard a range just from talking to students, and 40 to 75 cents per lead.
Okay.
And call it, yeah, $4 to $7, $5 to $8 an hour, somewhere in there.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. And let's see. Just looking at some notes.
Hey, with your bird dogs up front, if you have a few interested, hire both of them and give them different zip codes and see who does a better job.
Okay.
Don't just go with one person and say, oh, this person said they'll drive for me tomorrow. I don't need to hire the second.
Right.
Things happen. People no-show. Yeah, get a couple of them moving up front. So.
Okay, I'll get a couple of them moving in the, you know, the high-volume areas according to the, you know, to the map.
Yep,
so.
Yep. Just give them separate zip codes.
Okay, I can handle that. Now, I know I sent you an email about the, I know I said I can't spend a lot of time on the phone because I just don't have it. We're working a full-time job now. But you pretty much explained that previously with those, with the guys who exit earlier. So I should be pretty good for now, right now. And I'm not to that step anyway. So, you know, initially I may have to, should I start kind of looking for that and maybe put out something for
the person? I was gonna say, bird dogs and skip tracing can sometimes take a little bit to get it all put together, but other times it comes together really quick. So be ready to get an ad posted. That's what I'll tell you. Have it queued up, have it ready to go. Because it just, you know, you could have one of these bird dogs say, I'll go drive for 4 hours tomorrow.
Okay.
And you could have a skip tracer tonight that says, yeah, I need work. You know, send them over, and you know, you could have skip trace leads here in within 48 hours. So, just be ready with that piece.
So once you have your skip tracer, once you have your bird dog out getting the leads, and he's, you know, entering through FreedomSoft, are you having your skip tracer to hit the find owner button and then skip tracing them?
Yes.
Okay, so they'll do that part off.
Yep. The bird,
but
the bird dog
be,
sends,
be in
sends
two
in the address.
Campaigns, correct?
What,
or will they be
that?
In the same campaign? Will they be in the same campaign? Have access to the same campaign? I'm guessing.
Bird dogs don't have any access to any of my Freedom
well,
Stuff campaigns. What
okay,
they have is they have an email address
right,
that's
okay,
tied
okay.
to their a campaign with their
right,
name on
right.
it. So I know how many leads they brought in, but they do
right,
not
right,
need
okay.
Freedom Soft access.
Right.
Yep.
You're right.
The
you're
VA
right.
then. Gets access to those campaigns so they can log
right.
in. And, yes, they click the Find the Owner button. So what they do is grab the address from the notes section, copy and paste it to the top of that lead details page in FreedomSoft, save it, click Find the Owner. That populates the owner's info, and then they run the skip trace and then copy and paste the phone numbers in.
Okay. And you're having the bird dogs, are they sending in pictures through that email also?
Yeah, they snap a photo of the property, and then they email it to that unique campaign email address that I give them in FreedomSoft tied to their campaign.
And where does that picture usually show up in? Does it show up in the notes also?
No, over on the left, it says photos, and that picture will show up right there.
Oh, the show is just populated into there. Okay.
Yeah, so if you haven't brought a lead in yet, set up a campaign, grab a photo on your phone and email it in and just put 123 Main Street, whatever, in the subject line, and attach a picture and send it in, and then see what it looks like when it comes into FreedomSoft so you can get familiar with it.
Okay, cool.
Yep.
Cool. All right, sounds good. And I got one other question, actually about a deal. So I went.
Okay.
I had an appointment this weekend here for my local market, and you know, so this property is a 2-bedroom, 1-bath, 1-car garage.
Okay.
It rents for around $700 with an ARV of around, based on the square footage that I'm seeing, it's around $70,000 to $75,000. So I'm counting on really about $70,000.
Okay.
The son-in-law is helping his mother-in-law sell it. It was her sister's property, and at this point, he says she's just pretty much ready to get rid of it. But it's kind of on himself and his two other brothers to kind of get sold. So those are the guys that I'm really having to sell on, you know, getting the price. I went to look at the property. It's a nice property, all brick. Furnace, AC, water heater were replaced in like 07. They're not in bad shape. They look, you know, really good. The property is in really good shape besides the fact that the kitchen has a really old stove in it. But besides that, the cabinets are good. The flooring looks good.
Okay.
Paint is actually a really, really clean property. They did a really good job taking care of it.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Yeah. But I mean, the updates that it does need, the bathroom may need a little paint, some flooring, and some, you know, some cleanup. And besides that, the roof is in really good shape and everything. Nice curb appeal. Right now, he's looking to get around. He's at mid 30s, about 35.
Okay.
You know, based kind of on my numbers, we're not far apart. But I need to be kind of under 30 to kind of get it, you know, where I need to, based on, you know, some numbers that I ran as far as the cap rate, you know, at about, you know, 15% and 12%.
Yeah, this is one where the rents, where it seems like the ARV is high for the amount that it would rent for. Hang on, let me run some math on my phone real quick.
Okay. Yeah, and I
so yeah, seven. I mean, this is the same numbers we just ran with Dennis. So 700
right.
times 70%.
Right, that was like
490 times 12. 5880 divided by 12 is $49,000. But you're saying that ARV is up around. Is this a little fix and flip deal, or is this a rental? I mean, these kind of numbers. If you can buy it for 30 and the house is in great shape.
Yeah, I mean, it could possibly be a flip. I don't see a huge amount of flip activity going around in the area.
Okay.
But I think it's a really nice street. It's on the cul-de-sac. The house,
so what,
the property actually up the street. But it's on the market right now for like $149,000.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, at only $700 a month rent, you'd think a 12-cap buyer could pay $49,000.
Right.
So what do you have that shows? I mean, you have. Let me ask you this: who's buying the deals that are selling at 70 to 75? Are these absentee landlord buyers?
No, mostly everything that I've seen has been
retail.
It's been retail.
Man, I mean, what does it take to get this thing into a retail condition? $5,000, ten?
Ten at the most, I would say.
Yeah.
Where, you know, he said they actually had it listed for a while. He said that,
okay,
you know, he think they would have got it sold. I think he said they had it at about $59,900 or $60,000, somewhere around there. He said he think they wouldn't have had a problem getting it sold, but it was the kitchen with the really old stove in it, and he said they just didn't want to put any more money into it.
Something, yeah, but here, something's not adding up here. So
right,
I can walk into a house worth $70,000. And it just needs a stove, and I can get it for $59 and I say no, there's more to that story.
Yeah, that's kind of...
I mean, a stove, a nice new stove is $600.
Exactly, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, kind of what I've been
trying. Something's not adding up here.
I'm going to call him back tonight and kind of try to do some digging on him and try to
yeah, you got to say, hey, I was thinking about it. Something's not adding up. So who came up with the value at 70 to 75? Is that your number or theirs?
I mean, that's just what I've been seeing based on the comparables that I ran.
Interesting. And how recently was it listed?
He said that was a while back, so we're probably talking about 6 months. 6 months ago.
Okay, still. The market, I'm guessing, you're not in Denver. It hasn't gone up that much on a 2-1
no,
6 months. No chance.
No.
Something's off here. Do a little more digging. You're in the closer ballpark, and my all-in number at 49 on a 12 cap, that's got to be closer to value here. Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. If it's a rental neighborhood, it's not that ARV is irrelevant, but
mm-hmm.
monthly rents is going to drive the show.
Yeah,
because that's how you calculate value, is what can I rent it for?
And,
you know,
and
how quick can I get my money back?
And also, Mike, I wanted to bring up, I almost forgot. It actually has another room off of the kitchen.
Okay.
And it's kind of used like as a family room / kind of sunroom. It has a patio sliding door on it. But it actually has like a small little closet in it, and it has a window in it. I mean,
okay.
would you kind of put that out, or if you had it under contract, would you base this on like a 3-bedroom? Is that something that would...
Is it? Yeah, two things. Is there an egress window in the room, and is there a closet?
It has a closet. It has like a small little section that is like a broom closet almost, which could be, which look like it can easily be converted into like a, you know, a clothes closet. And it actually, and it actually does have an egress window in it.
Okay. It's got those two. That sounds to me like a conforming bedroom. So.
Right.
I mean, how big is that room? Is it like a little 8x8?
No,
it's
actually, the room is actually just as big as the other bedroom.
Okay. Yeah. Why is it not considered a bedroom now?
Because they've always kind of used it as a, since they've owned the house for a really long time, and they've always used it as a she's always used it as like a sitting area. He said she spent most of her time off there just sitting and sleeping. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funky that it's off a kitchen, but so what?
Right, yeah.
Sounds like a bedroom to me. Yeah.
Right. And then at 3-bedroom, the rents go up to what I was saying is about $875. Yes.
Yeah, totally different story. That could be where that higher value is coming in. So, yeah, that's a big piece of the puzzle.
Right.
I mean, rents go up $175 a month.
Yes,
so
that's pretty huge. So I was thinking about kind of approaching it from a 3-bedroom perspective.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of looking at that, especially, I mean, like kind of on the, like the disposition end, maybe if I can use it as being a 2-bedroom as my advantage on the buy side.
Absolutely.
You know, to kind of see if I can work them and see. Because they are motivated. Like he said, he understands this guy. He used to be an appraiser. He worked at a bank now. So he understands the whole concept of, you know, we're investors and, you know, we're looking to make a profit and all that good stuff. He clearly understands that. What he's kind of worried about is convincing the rest of his folks that, you know, this is, you know, this offer is good enough.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what's going to have to happen here is, you've got to just come to your price and say, this is what I can pay, and, you know, move on and let's find 10 more. Because what you're telling me, there may be – it sounds like there could be some motivation there, but they could also – I mean, this could be a retail listing. I mean, it sounds – from what the house you described, seems like somebody could walk in with an FHA loan and probably get financed for this thing.
Yeah, they could. They
I mean, they're not going to worry about an old stove.
No,
so,
you can less easily request this.
Yeah.
Like cabinets are in Michelin shape, the floor and everything is in pretty good shape.
Yeah. What you're going to have to figure out is, what is that price? And I'll tell you what, you can do the same thing I told Dennis to do. Get a hold of some buyers in that neighborhood. and say, you know, just call them and say, hey, I'm a wholesaler. I typically move fix and flips or whatever. I've got eyes on a little rental in this neighborhood. Here's what it looks like. Here's the condition. You know, what would you pay for that thing? How do you run your numbers on that?
Okay.
Help me bring you a deal, right? I've got a relationship with the seller, yada, yada, yada. Break it all down. Don't give them any address, any detail, but
right.
You can spell out the whole thing and say, tell me how you would run your numbers and what if I brought this thing tomorrow, at what price would I have to bring it? And you say, I'll take it. And we move to closing. So just get some data.
Okay.
Talk to some buyers and get the number, make your offer, and then move on.
Okay. So you think since I went and, you know, viewed the property, you think I need to touch base with him again before I kind of reach out to some buyers, or how do you think I should approach that?
I would call. I mean, you can call buyers right now and just paint the picture of this thing for them.
Okay.
Yeah, I would do that because you can go on right now, like just what I told Dennis, you can go on Craigslist, find properties listed for rent in that zip code, and you can go on GoSection8.com and find rental listings right now and talk to landlords.
Okay, I'm going to do that tonight.
Yep, and just say, hey, you know, talk. Here's what it is. I'll tell you what it looks like. What do you pay for this thing? It's the house is vacant right now. You know, it's got this kind of a funky third bedroom, but you know what I'm seeing in the neighborhood is 3-bed, 1-bath, $875 a month. You know, does that sound about right? You know, you can kind of lean in on their expertise because they know the area. But yeah, ask them.
Okay.
And then, just like I told Dennis, when you hang up that call, if somebody's interested, you say, hypothetical, I get this thing tied up tomorrow and bring it to you on Wednesday, you know, tomorrow afternoon or Wednesday at this price you're in, this is a property you take. I mean, obviously, we get you through inspection, but assuming you find that the property's in the condition that I explained, is this something that we tie up and we go to closing on? And just see what they say.
Okay.
Yeah, because, you know, your serious buyers, they'll give you a number, and they'll, you know, that have money to spend. They'll say, yeah, this house is in that condition, and you bring it to me at that price, I'll give you earnest money on it. So, and we'll get the contract done.
Sounds good.
So, yeah, talk to 5 to 10 quick. See if you can find out.
Yeah, I'll do that tonight.
Cool. Good stuff. Who else?
Yes.
Or did you have any more questions, Ryan?
No, that was it, Mike.
Okay. Yeah, good stuff. Anybody else?
Mike, I got a quick question on
I just looked at the time. I'd like to keep these to 90 minutes. That's okay, but let's see if we can wrap this thing up. Yeah, go ahead. My answer
How long
is
does
don't
it take
use
for...
it. Oh, go ahead. I'm just kidding.
How long does it take to register? I just sent it twice, and then it's not registering on the HomeSnap on FreedomSoft.
Hasn't come in yet?
No.
Yeah, it can depend. It just that's now you're talking about email, send and deliver, you know, deliverability stuff. So sometimes it's quick. I've noticed sometimes it can take a few minutes. So keep refreshing it. It should show up.
I was just checking to see how it, if they are using HomeSnap, just adding the zip code at the end of it because they have to add the zip code on it.
Oh, gotcha.
And
see how it comes
and I wanted
in.
To see if it comes in, but it's not coming in. So,
yeah, I still recommend don't use HomeSnap to have your bird dogs use it if there's missing house numbers. But just email the photo, put the address in the subject line. That's just easier. So, yeah, they should show up, Tom. But sometimes it can take a few.
All
right. Yep. Anything else, quick?
No.
All right. Good stuff, everybody. Good questions. Have a good afternoon, evening, or morning if you happen to be in Japan. And any other questions, as always, get them into the coaching center. I'll make it happen next couple days. Look for some good updates on Thursday. A lot of things moving. So good stuff, everybody. We'll chat soon. Take care.
All right.
Thank you.
All right.
Take care.